Hi, this is Tiffany Montgomery, the editor of Shop Eat Surf. Today we have a podcast interview with Eric John, one of the owners of Laguna Surf and Sport in Laguna Beach. Eric started as an independent retailer, then in 2008 sold his store to Volcom, where he went on to become head of global retail, working closely with Kering, Volcom's owner since 2011. He left the company in 2015 and bought back Laguna Surf and Sport along with partners Jason Steris, the former CEO of Volcom, and Jason Watson, the longtime store manager. I talked with Eric about why he is optimistic about what he calls craft retail and about the industry, why he thinks retailers should not take money for windows or floor space from big brands that have really moved beyond core retail, why he thinks Visla is on the verge of big things, and why he thinks it's so important for the industry to keep its magic and its culture. Now, here's our conversation with Eric. Okay, so I'm in the basement, deep in the basement, with Eric John, one of the owners of Laguna Surf and Sport. Thanks for meeting with me.
You're welcome, Tiffany.
Good to see you.
You too.
So for people who don't know your story, can you just like briefly talk a little bit about owning Laguna Surf and Sport before you sold it and now you own it again?
Sure. We started the store in the mid-80s, and I ran it, owned it, and in 2008, I sold the store to Volcom. They approached me. They wanted to explore a multi-branded play, and I sold them the store, went to work for Volcom, became their global VP of retail, opened a lot of company stores. I was on the global management team and the global executive team there. It was a lot of fun. I worked with some great people. And up until December of 2015, right around the same time that Jason Steris left, I left as well.
Okay. And so you sold in 2008. Good time to sell.
Yes, that was a great time to sell, actually.
Nice timing. And buying in 2015. Oh, well, tell us how you bought it back.
Okay, as part of my negotiations coming out of Volcom, we developed a partnership between myself, Jason Watson, who has been running the store for a very long time, and Jason Steris. We formed up Core Matters Corp, and we bought Laguna Surf and Sport back from Volcom. They were very respectful of our wishes and needs, and when I explained to them that I wanted the store back and wanted to like perpetuate it into the future, you know, and serve this community, they helped make a deal happen.
Okay. And so you bought it back at a good time too, I'm guessing.
Yes. Well, it was a time I was leaving Volcom, and to be honest, I was either going to buy it back or open a new place in town with the same guys. So yeah, it was a good time. It was a good price. They were very generous coming out.
Right. So did you learn any tricks of the trade, or did you feel like you already knew, you know, is all retail the same? Meaning what you learned over the years here, it was applicable to the larger retail stage?
Absolutely was. The same characteristics of success that exist in this store exist in the world at large at company stores. You know, there's more layers of complexity there. And with a bigger, I had ownership of the global retail P&L, so there was a lot of stores, a lot of people, a lot more HR issues, a lot more of everything, to be honest. But what I saw in people, you know, the kind of the markers for success are exactly the same that I would see in the surf shop. They would be operational people whose crew would literally follow them off a cliff if he asked them to. They were the characteristics of leadership success were kind of the quintessential like servant leaders that you'll see around. You know, there are guys that weren't afraid to roll up their sleeves and get their hands dirty. I would do the same. We had really, really a good retail team over there, and you know, particularly in Hawaii and in Europe.
So let's look at the industry retail landscape now. So you've been back, it's almost 2 years, it sounds like, a year and a half?
Yeah, year and a half.
Okay. So you're dealing with all the brands are coming in and asking you to buy orders. You're looking what's going on out there. How would you describe the state of the industry retail landscape?
I like the state of the retail industry landscape. We are still dealing with our friends every day. We are optimistic and curious about the industry. We're not beaten down and fatigued. And we're pushing into the future with our friends and partners. It's exciting to see Vistula grow, to be honest, as a brand. You know, they seem like they're in their ascendancy along with a lot of other brands, including Roark, who are great friends of ours from day one around here. So we're not down on the industry at all. We're really, you know, the one thing about a complex and varied journey like I have been on, it gives me appreciation for where I am here and now. And I'm here at Laguna Surf and Sport now, and there's no place I'd rather be. And it's not because I'm coming, you know, to try to, like, turn around an industry on the downs. This industry is just fine for us. And we have meaningful partnerships, and we invest in those. We love our customers. We see passion every day in the store, and we respond to it. I don't know really what more you could want. I don't get paid as much as I used to, but I'd much rather be here.
And do you, when you were talking about the brands, are you cultivating some of the up-and-coming brands? What do you think about the sort of the brand landscape?
I think the brand landscape is fascinating. I was really stoked to see the guys at Roark do their deal to get financial stability. I like the fact that they're edgy and they wear their hearts on their sleeves. I love the fishing brands, to be honest, even more than one of them. I see these guys busting it, and to see Tom Reese back out on the road doing barbecues and at events with Groms, it's like it feels like he's returned to his happy place, just like me to mine. And it's you know, we want to invest in new brands. You know, we miss them sometimes when they're coming up, and we, our core values aren't, you know, we don't go chasing trends. We form meaningful partnerships with like-minded people. And so every once in a while, we'll miss a little micro trend because we are doing that. And you know, a meaningful partnership is something that gets you through all the highs and lows of it all.
Right. And, you know, I hear sort of a lot more negativity from retailers a little bit. I mean, not all retailers, but, you know, just how tough it is. There's the Amazon question, right? There's brand selling direct. There's social media, I guess, which could be a benefit, really. But there's all this competition. There's Swell discounting everything under the sun. Does any of that impact your business?
Yeah, I'm sure it does. It's something that we should use to make ourselves better. You know, the negativity, it doesn't benefit the business. You know, years ago, we used to have a competitor across the street, and he went through some ups and downs, and like walking into that store would really be kind of like a wild experience. Like he was a little unstable, and customers would want to come in here and talk about it. And I told the guys that worked up there, we've always had really intelligent people that work here. I would say, look, if a customer comes in and wants to start like talking crap on the guy across the street, turn him around. Don't say anything negative about them. Focus on the positive going on here, because that's what people respond to. And no one responds to negativity, not even negative people.
That's funny. And what about, what's your philosophy on, you know, having brands pay you for build outs and having brands pay you for windows? Do you think that has any impact on the state of the industry at the moment?
Here we go. Yes, I do. I think that, look, first of all, let me say that I don't think any brand owes Laguna Surf and Sport anything. It's, you know, we have a partnership, sure, but when it's time for them to grow past core retail, I certainly understand that. I think and I do think that when you have core brands, once in a while, with the financial pressure they have to make compromises that are possibly incongruent with that are incongruent with their core values, in order to not go out of business or to make a quarter or to not get fired, you know, whatever. Like, I get that. So that plays into a brand's durability. It's like if Patagonia was in an inventory position and in trouble, they are such a durable brand, meaning that their, like, core recognition is so strong that they could blow out a bunch of stuff in Marmax and it wouldn't hurt their brand desirability in their core accounts at all. But, you know, it's... when you have somebody in the surf market and it's time for those guys to go from 300 to 700 to 900 million, it's going to be hard for them not to rewrite their core values, because their values change from the ones they first walked in the surf shop with to the ones that are trying to really bust it out hard, you know, in a business sense. I don't fault anyone for doing that, but I don't look at them in the same light that I used to when they first walked in the door. And sometimes the relationship is either over or radically diminished. But I still don't harbor any ill will, and I certainly don't let a brand that has grown out of Laguna Surf and Sport keep their presence by paying us for any windows, any floor space, because in my opinion, that retards the growth of new brands. And I liken it to like a teak farm in Costa Rica. You know, it's you've got to harvest the big trees to let the sunlight get through to the small ones. And if you let the big trees hang around longer than they should just because they're writing you a check with their profits from other places, I think it's a mistake. And it takes away a lot of, like, the wonder of the industry, especially, like, looking through a kid's eyes.
Okay, so then my devil's advocate question is, you guys still carry a lot of Volcom. Is that just part of your deal with buying it back from them? Or, you know, I guess, you know, I can just see here people listening to this saying, well, wait a minute, they have a whole Volcom room, and, you know, some could argue that they've grown so big.
Yeah, well, they haven't. I mean, I know exactly how big Volcom is, and they're not one of these, you know, they're doing what they have to in order to, like, keep their jobs for one more day. But it's, like, they fit in nicely with the assortment here at Laguna Surf and Sport, and believe it or not, I am not the boss around here. The boss, person I work for, and J-Dog works for, and Watto works for, is the person walking in making their buying decisions. And their breadth of product, the Volcom breadth of product, works in really nice with what we have to do to service our customer. And I don't really see how we could, as long as we're, I don't think it's diminishing the sales of anyone else in the store, to be honest. I think it's accretive to our program. And if it wasn't, they wouldn't be in there.
Oh, that's good. And how involved is Jason in the business?
Classic. He's fairly involved. You know, we have strong meetings once a quarter. We go surfing like 3 or 4 times a week, and he hits me up if I'm getting too fat and not surfing enough and not going on enough surf trips. But yeah, he's involved, and we talk about, he's a great friend. We're all really good friends, and we talk a lot about these more macro issues, just like we talked about when we worked together at Volcom. We've been talking about Amazon for a long time. We've been talking about the race to the bottom for a long time. We've been talking about core values and mission statements and distribution for a long time. And so we continue those discussions. And, you know, if I had to bet, I would say that I don't think that either one of our careers end here. I'm sure he'll be placed at another company. And I wouldn't be surprised if I did too.
Really?
I had a lot of fun at Volcom. And I worked with a lot of great people. And, you know, one of the things I see, as long as we're going to just extrapolate a little bit here, is I see big companies who are in a state of revenue decline, whether it's organic or failure to do something new, whatever it is, like they're in revenue decline and they are making OPEX cuts in order to make their revenue decline net neutral. Those OPEX cuts are almost always human beings. So the people that are left at these companies, their bandwidth is twice as taxed as it was before the OPEX cuts. So you have people that you work with that you used to be able to look in the eyes and like there was oxygen in the room and you can talk about things. Now they, if you could get them in front of you, which is really hard, it's really difficult to get them to take a deep breath, take the time and talk about issues because they have so much going on.
What is it like, you know, I'm across the street from you is the Rip Curl store and Billabong has a store down the street now. And, you know, there's lots of company or owned stores in town. What's it like competing with them?
Well, it keeps us on our game, really. I mean, first of all, it's I remember back in the day, there's some really old guy that owned a surf shop. What's his name? TK. He told me... I was asking him about somebody that opened down the street from him, and he goes, you know what, EJ? It's no fun being down the street from the Frog House. And so, you know, I've kind of like taken that challenge. It's like, we should try to make it that way in Laguna Beach. Now, we're not leaning into these guys. We just try to make ourselves better. And when you have like a well-stocked company store that's got a good product line, it's really hard to compete against them. And you've got to be on your game. And, you know, these guys, a lot of these guys do a good job. Some of them kind of thrown in the towel, and they've got coffee shops or something going now. They've taken it off their retail budget, put it on their marketing budget. But yeah, some of these guys, you know, they're not easy to compete against, but they're a lot different from us, and you get a different experience. And so some, just like when we talk about vendors and what segment of stores they should sell, some customers are better suited at a company store maybe than they are in the store above. And, you know, it's a more sterile experience. It's less community-oriented, but some people like that. And some people just shop price, and they like Amazon. But when you break it down to really an experiential, an experiential event, then you start talking about these non-scaled businesses, like the one we have upstairs. And you start talking about a business similar to like a brewery, right? And those things are totally unscaled, and people like that one-of-a-kind experiential vibe, and they go there. They pay more for a beer at a brewery than they would at a Chili's. But there's a whole lot of people that, despite Chili's scale and their prices, they would rather go to Artifacts Brewery in San Clemente because they like that smaller, artisan, non-scaled vibe. That's what we have here, and that's the difference between us and a lot of the company-owned stores in town.
Well, let's talk more about Laguna Surf and Sports. So tell me what is working up there. Are there any surprises, that stuff that's really taking off? What are the kids, all the cool kids hang out here, obviously. Like, what are they buying?
Well, they, Vizsla's really, really good. Going into this deal, like the number two brand, you know, going for the number two brand behind Volcom, I thought it would kind of be like an even horse race between Vizsla, Ruka, and Rourke. And Vizsla's got clear separation now between the other two. And they look, and I'm a surf turkey, so I like Vizsla because they have kind of more surf turkey wear. And I like what they're doing, and I see them, to be honest, I see them as just the clear successors to, like, the Quicksilvers, Billabongs of this world. Nod Smart is way smarter than me. He knows how to do it. He's doing it. Ruka sells really, really well. Rourke sells very, very well, and there are guys now that they have the funding, you know, like, look for them to have an expanded presence. They've been a little bit impaired by the space we've given them, just waiting for, you know, them to clear up all the things they've already cleared up. We like their vibe a lot. We're 100% committed to them forever, regardless of what their clothes look like anyway. Salty Crew and the Fish thing's going good. And I don't know. I might be missing a couple.
But when you said Vizsla has clearly separated, meaning that they're outselling those other ones by a lot?
Yeah, but, well, a lot's a relative term.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like it was pretty much a dead heat before before the last 3 to 4 months, and as far as revenue and gross margin goes, Vizsla's created clear separation, you know, from the other two. And that's not factoring in the wetsuits. You know, it's just clothing, apples against apples. And it's I can tell because I'm working the floor more now. Kids are walking in asking for the stuff. Where is the Vizsla? And you'd be surprised upstairs, like, as brand driven as we are, like, very few people come in and ask for one certain brand. They ask for a category more. They go, where's your board shorts? Where are your wetsuit tops? Where are your, and then it's like the interaction that determines what they get. Every once in a while, you know, it's, they walk in and ask for a brand. And that's usually when a brand's just taken off in their ascendancy. It's happening right now with Vizsla, despite the fact they've been around for a while.
Right. You have a nice little section there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks good. So, speaking of being on the floor, you've been around kids a lot. It's like, it seems like everyone from Laguna worked in the store at some point who's in the industry.
They're all old now, by the way.
Very old. So you dealt with kids way back then. You're dealing with kids now. Are the kids of today, how are they different, if they're different? And, like, do they have different expectations when they shop, different, You know, can you compare a little bit?
Yeah. You know, I know the answer you're fishing for, but that's not the one you're going to get. It's I see the consumer as exactly the same. You know, yesterday I was thinking about this because I figured you'd ask me this. Yesterday I was in here and a gal was in here with her two twins. They were buying wetsuit tops. And those kids were so stoked because they just threw them on, ripped the tags off, and they're headed to the beach to go surfing. And we're right across the street from the beach. There's waves out there. Water's warm. People are stoked. And I know from my experience at Volcom that there are a lot of like millennial shoppers out there who go through and scan prices and their shopping price, asking you to match, seeing how much the stuff on your floor is on Amazon. That doesn't happen a whole lot here. And like, look, if someone walked in, honestly, like if someone walked in the door and said it was cheaper at Amazon, we'd either match the price, which I'd probably be reticent to do, depending on what their posturing was. But I'd either match the price or tell them to go buy it on Amazon with no hard feelings at all. Like, we don't care. We are singularly focused on serving the community of shoppers that shop here. So, if someone brings something back for return, don't have the receipt, we return it. If someone brings it out, you know, use it accidentally or like whatever, they got a story and they're asked for help, we help them. No matter what, we don't have one scaled up, like that's the difference between scale and artisan. This is artisan. Like, we don't have one unbreakable rule here, not one. You know, if it's for the benefit of the customer, we will break that rule. And as far as the millennials go, and you know, I read a lot of articles on them. I have millennial kids, like, and they break me down more than anyone. And that we have millennial like employees here, not that different. They have the same basic needs, and you just have to plug into their passion. They don't like, if you could get them to be invested and have an equity position, emotionally, spiritually, in a local retailer, they're not going to want to go buy it at Amazon. And it's not going to be the deal where, you know, I've seen lots of like workshops and studies where they say that kids will even roust each other if they paid too much, or like the guy that got the super deal at Amazon. That won't even come in play. You know, that they want to support businesses they feel equity in. And if we take it back to the craft brewing house, you go, okay, are two guys sitting around, two bearded millennials sitting around the craft brewing house talking about how much money they could have saved on a Corona at Chili's versus the black beer they're drinking at the craft house. And they're not saying that. They're just engrossed in the experience. And that's what we try to do here. Okay, so like the millennial question, like they're different. The kids are different than they used to be, but they have the same needs and wants and passions. It might be different if we were farther away from the beach. You know, I at the Aliso store that we closed, that when I was at Volcom, we closed at the end of 2014. We lost the plot there for a while. You know, on the kids. I don't know how it happened. You know, it was partially economic, and you know, I'm sure that was always more of a challenge because this, like I said, I'm a surf turkey, and we're across the street from the beach, and you know, that's one thing that's never going away.
I guess the last thing, is there anything you want to talk about that I didn't ask you?
Well, Tiffany, I think that, you know, a lot of people are talking about the industry and they're going, hey, are you worried about the industry? No, I'm not worried about the industry one bit. You know, the only thing that concerns me about the industry is the thing I talked about earlier with the old growth trees, you know, not making room for the sunlight to come through to the new brands. You know, I to be honest, it might sound weird for me saying this, like, I don't see a lot of, like, young people opening surf shops because it's so capital intensive. You know, it's, you can't just pop a surf shop open. It's going to cost you, like, $500,000. There's not a lot of passionate, like, 20-something-year-olds that have access to that kind of capital. That worries me a little bit because I actually think that's good for the industry. And I think that new brands are good for the industry, too. And as Roark kind of just illustrated, like, it's really, really difficult. Like, you need a lot of capital to make it from point zero to point five. And it's, you know, I'm super stoked they did, you know, but I'm not sure that I would plow a bunch of my money into a startup brand. It's difficult. And you know, I do know that a lot of big retailers owe a lot of money to big manufacturers. I don't think that's healthy, but I don't think that necessarily puts the industry in any kind of state of distress. I think that it should be worked out. Those guys should actually, you know, rather than everybody with their head down, you know, just flying as fast as they can, I think they really should come up, get in a room with some oxygen in it, and like restructure that debt if it needs to get restructured. Because I don't think it's in anyone's best interest to retard the growth of new brands. I think that we all, just as I advocate for new surf shops opened by young people, I think that older brands should advocate for newer brands, and they should embrace them and show them the ropes whenever possible. And because it's just healthy for the whole industry, and it's healthy for them too. We should all work together with that end user in mind. You know, that kid with a smile on his face who's like trucking across the street to go surfing at Brook Street. It's like, guy's so stoked. You know, let's not beat all the magic and curiosity out of this deal we got going here, because we could do it. We could beat the magic out of it. We have control over it. We're smart enough. We can keep the magic going. And that's why this is my happy place. That's why I know what I'll find every time I return here. I'll find fired up consumers buying products or not buying products, or maybe we'll give them product for free. I don't care. If it enhances their life and they're stoked, like, that's what we live for around here. And that satisfies our passion and curiosity.
That's great. You know, you have an interesting perspective because you're seeing this here, right? But then you've done the corporate thing. Mm-hmm. So I can imagine some people listening to this who are working in those really stressful corporate environments right now. I mean, there's been people who've gone through a lot the last few years, right, mm-hmm. at the big companies.
Yep.
And they totally believe in what you're saying. I bet almost everyone we know would totally believe in what you're saying, but they'd say, but I can't do it here. We have new owners. We have to hit those numbers. We're laying people off. Our budgets are so tight. What do you say to that?
I totally empathize with that, because everyone's in a different position. And you know, some people need their jobs more than others. And some people, like, I don't begrudge anyone that maybe makes a short-term decision in order to keep their job or you know, in order to keep their job. But I would have a little problem with somebody that made a decision that wasn't in the best long-term interest of their company just so they didn't get yelled at the next day. But sometimes it's a fine line between getting yelled at and losing your job. And you lose your job, you know, that doesn't feel very good. Happened to me. And, you know, if you're really close to the bone, it's just hard to feed your family and all those things. So, now I mean, you're asking me what I think, I'm telling you what I think. And as far as the take it for what it's worth, because I'm not telling anyone else how they should live their life or what decisions they would make. I could tell you what I would do in their situation, maybe. But even that's a stretch. You know, everyone makes the decision that feels right for them.
Here's a question for you. Sorry, I keep thinking of other things. Online business. You mm-hmm. guys aren't doing that, right?
I don't think so, no.
From what I tell your website.
Yeah.
There's barely anything on there.
Yeah.
I looked before I came. So why not?
We don't have the bandwidth, and it's like, if you want to talk for another half an hour about that, we could, but it's, I do think that we should have an online presence. So if someone wants to buy a Laguna Surf and Sport t-shirt online, we should give them a vehicle to do that. In that respect, we are not doing a good job of serving our boss, who's our consumer. Our consumers, like, here, they check the place out, and they go back home on after vacation. They're in the middle of America, and they can't buy it. That's our bad. As far as, like, having a full-blown, robust website with all the branded goods and all that stuff, I just don't think we can compete on that level. We don't. It's really hard for us to communicate all the things that I just said, the passion, the courage to communicate. It's like, in my opinion, it's pretty sterile shopping over the internet. Like, can't smell the wax, you can't, that's what people like to say, but you're not standing in a surf shop. And price all of a sudden is way more of an issue. Amazon is way more of an issue. Like, a lot of these strategic advantages that we have sitting right here, we don't have out there in La La Land, you know, on the internet. So we're not there. And we probably won't be effectively until we can figure out how to overcome that, if we ever can, which I have my doubts about. Who knows? I've invested a lot of money over the years in web sales and all that stuff, and it's never worked for us, even during the Laguna Beach TV show.
Really?
Yeah, that's a monumental fail to be able to fail when all that hype's happening. I did it.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, well, I guess that's all. Anything you want to add?
I think I'm pretty good.
Okay.
Okay,
good.
Thanks,
thank you. Bye.